الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد In our previous classes we're discussing the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to al-ulu with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being high and lofty in his essence uluhu fi dhatihi Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and high and lofty in his status and rank, and his honor and nobility, wa uluhu fi qadrihi, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise his high and loftiness and his authority and command and his power, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, uluhu fi qahrihi. So the high and loftiness of Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala, the highness and the loftiness of Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala is in three aspects, ulu al-dhati wa ulu al-qadr wa ulu. Al-Qahar. We have discussed a number of affairs with regards to this, and that Allah, He is the Most High, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, in every aspect, and He is the Most High. And likewise, from the specific aspect of His loftiness, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, is that He had rose above the throne in a manner befitting His Majesty, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, Ar-Rahman, Ala Al-Arsh Istawa, Ala Al-Arsh. Istawa, and he rose above the throne in a manner befitting his majesty. And from here we're discussing the narration of Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala when he was asked about this affair. And his response was a great response, and derived from that is a great principle and how to understand with these attributes and deal with individuals who have misunderstandings in them. And he was asked about how the istiwa is, yani the kaif. The kaif, which we have learned, is something that is unknown and we're not able to realize and we're not able to comprehend, and something that Allah, He has not informed us of. And the proper response and understanding of how these attributes are is كَمَا يَلِيكُ بِجَلَالِهِ وَعَظَمَتِهِ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى, in the manner befitting His glory and His majesty, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how they are. As for that reality, we do not know. Allahu أَعْلَمُ الْكَيْفِيَّةِ Allahu أَعْلَمُ بِ كَيْفِيَةِ صِفَاتِهِ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى. We just believe that they are in a manner befitting His Majesty. They are in a manner befitting His Majesty. But whenever a person of deviation he asks as if he's asking as if he's trying to figure it out, or trying to understand, or trying to comprehend, or trying to use his intellect and his mind to reach this reality, and that is not possible, nor it is allowed. That is not possible, nor is it allowed. Rather, is from the greatest means of deviation that will lead a person to misguidance and disbelief. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ So Al-Imam Malik, he was asked about this affair. Ar-Rahman, عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى كَيْفِ اسْتَوَى How did he rise above the throne? Imam Malik, he became very angry and he took his time and he answered and he mentioned رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهِ الْكَيْفُ غَيْرُ مَعْقُولٍ The how is not understood. It cannot be comprehended. There's no way for us to realize this affair and know. And this is based upon a principle we had discussed in the previous class, and that is al-kalamu fi sifati far'un an al-kalami fi dhat. That to speak about the attributes, this is based upon or stemming from speaking about the essence. So just as we believe that Allah, He has a dhat, that Allah, He has an essence, and it's not like the essence of anything in the creation. It's perfect with no deficiency or no defect whatsoever. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, His life is perfect with no deficiency and no defect whatsoever. His existence and His essence, His life is perfect with no deficiency or defect whatsoever. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same way we believe in this issue here, then likewise we believe in the attributes that He has affirmed for Himself. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, without resembling them to anything in the creation. The same way we believe that His essence and His life and His existence does not resemble the essence nor the life or existence of anything in the creation. Likewise, all of His attributes, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do not resemble anything in the creation. They do not resemble anything in the creation. Therefore, laysa kamithlihi shay, wa huwa as-sami'u al-basir. So the answer here is very beautiful. Al-kayfu ghayru ma'qul. How did he rise above the throne? This cannot be comprehended. But then he went further to clarify, rahimahullah, what is istiwa'u ghayru majhul. What is istiwa'u minhu ghayru majhul. And as for the word al-istiwa and this attribute, it's not unknown. This is something that is known. Ay ma'lum. Meaning that in the Arabic language, this word is known. What the original meaning is, what the word originally means, this is something that is known. Al-istiwa يعني أو استوى يعني ارتفع يعني على وارتفع, meaning he rose above the throne. So this is something that is known. The original understanding of that word and that attribute is well known in the Arabic language. And that original understanding is established for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah, He has affirmed that for Himself. But as for how it is, then it's in a manner befitting the majesty of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is something we are not able to comprehend. And then he mentioned, rahimahullah, what imanu bihi wajib. What imanu bihi wajib. And to believe in it is an obligation. And to believe in it, and in the istiwa, is an obligation. Because this is something that Allah, He has mentioned about Himself. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu Azza wa Jal asdaqu qeelan wa hadithan. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the most truthful in His speech and His statement. And He is the most knowledgeable of Himself and of other than Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, He is the most knowledgeable of Himself and the most knowledgeable of His creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He has affirmed for Himself this attribute. So therefore, it's an obligation to believe in it. Wa imanu bihi wajibun. And as for asking about the reality of how it is, this is not allowed. Rather, this is an innovation and something that the early generations from the noble companions, radiallahu anhum, and those after them, from the tabi'een and the atba' tabi'een, they did not delve into these affairs. So he mentioned, rahimahullah, wassu'alu anhu bid'ah. And to ask about this, how it is an innovation. Because the pious and the righteous generations, they never asked about how it is. Rather, they accepted that reality, that this is something that they're not able to comprehend, and it's something that they have been informed of from As-Sadiq al-Masduq in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the noble Quran, and likewise in the authentic narrations, and they surrender and accept this. And this is something that is the beautiful way of a true believer. And it's been collected by al-Bukhari, from the narration of Muhammad ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, rahimahullah, from the greatest of the scholars of hadith. He died in the year 124. He mentioned, Minallahi al-Risala, Minallahi al-Risala, wa ala al-Rasuli al-Balagh, wa alayna al-Taslim, wa alayna al-Taslim. Minallahi al-Risala. The message is from Allah. Minallahi al-Risala. The message is from Allah. The message is from Allah. Any of the revelation and the guidance and the light is from Allah. Min Allahi al-Risala. Wa ala al-Nabi al-Balagh. And what is incumbent upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to convey the message. The message is from Allah, and the responsibility upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to convey that message as it was revealed to him. Wa alayna al-Taslim. Wa alayna al-Taslim. And what is upon us is to submit and to surrender and to believe and to follow. To believe and to follow. So whenever a person, he sees the evidences and the proofs, and he sees the true reality that cannot be denied, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what he came with is the truth, and the Quran is the truth, and it's the speech of Allah, and it's the revelation, and it's guidance and light, and it's the final revelation, and it's guidance and light. And he realizes that what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come with is the truth, and is the clear truth, then he must surrender and submit to that. Whether he realizes the wisdom behind these legislative and sacred rights, or whether he does not realize this. Once he comes to the conclusion and he's guided to the true reality, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after this he must surrender and submit in entirety. He must surrender and submit in entirety. Many of the affairs from the religion will be clear for him, and he'll understand the wisdom behind many of the sacred rites, and other aspects he will not understand. And it's incumbent for him to surrender and to submit in every aspect, whether he understands the wisdom or not. So from the affairs that we are not able to comprehend nor understand, the reality is the reality of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reality of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even there are issues in the creation, we're not able to understand the reality. Likewise, like the reality of the creation of the jinn, and the reality of the creation of the angels, even the reality in the creation of our own souls that are in between our sides and our own body. We're not able to realize and comprehend that. But we believe in it, and we have no doubt in its existence. So in the same manner, we have to submit to these affairs. Min Allahi al-Risala, from Allah is the message. Wa ala al-Nabi al-Balagh, and the responsibility of conveying that is upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa alayna al-Taslim, and it's incumbent for us to submit and to surrender, to submit and to surrender. So this understanding here about Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, and this response with regards to kayfistawa, how did Allah rise above the throne? This is the response for every single attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does he, if one were to ask about the face, or ask about the hands, or ask about the feet, or ask about the fingers, or ask about the eyes, or ask about the hearing, or the seeing, or the knowledge, or the mercy, or the love, or the anger, or the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any of these attributes, al-muhabba, wal-ridha, wal-bughd, wal-ghadab, wal-maqat, wal-farah, wal-ridha, all of these attributes that Allah has described Himself with, the question of how they are is in the same answer. How they are with regards to Allah, it's not comprehensible. One cannot comprehend these affairs. As for the original meaning of these words, then these affairs are known. And to believe in them is an obligation, because Allah, He has affirmed them for Himself, and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has affirmed them. And to ask about how they are and to delve into this issue is an innovation and not allowed. So this is very important to understand with regards to all of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we continue reading now, and the author, he says, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى مَعَ خَلْقِهِ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ عَرْشِهِ يَعْلَمُ أَحْوَالَهُمْ وَيَسْمَعُ أَقْوَالَهُمْ وَنُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ مَعَ خَلْقِهِ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ عَرْشِهِ يعلم أحوالهم ويسمع أقوالهم ويرى أفعالهم ويدبر أمورهم ويرزق الفقير ويسمع أقوالهم ويرى أفعالهم ويدبر أمورهم ويرزق الفقير ويجبر الكثير ويؤتي الملك من يشاء وينزع الملك ممن يشاء ويعز من يشاء ويذل من يشاء بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. He says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and we believe that Allah the Most High, He was with His creation. He is with His creation while He is above His throne. He's with His creation while He is above His throne. And He knows their circumstances, and He hears their statements, and He sees their actions, and He's disposing of their affairs, and He is providing for the poor and destitute, and He is mending the broken, and He aiding the one who was broken and down and out, and He grants His dominion to whom He wills, and He strips it from whom He wills, and He honors whom He wills, and He belittles whom He wills, and all good is in His hand, and He is able to do all things. وَمَنْ كَانَ هَذَا شَأْنُهُ كَانَ مَعَ خَلْقِهِ حَقِيقَةً وَإِنْ كَانَ فَوْقَهُمْ عَلَى عَرْشِهِ حَقِيقَةً. And he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and the one who this is his affair, and this is his reality, that he is with his creation in reality, and he is above them, above his throne in reality. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There's nothing like unto him, and he is the all-hearing, and he is the all-seeing. So here now the author, he's affirming the attribute of al-ma'iyyah. The attribute of al-ma'iyyah. The ma'iyyah is from the word ma'a, which is in the Arabic language al-dharf, and it means with. Al-ma'iyyah yani al-musahaba, that Allah, He is with the creation. That Allah, He is with the creation. And this is an attribute that many of the deviant sects, they have misunderstood. And this is going back to some of the previous issues likewise that we have discussed with regards to the ulu of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, He is with His creation. But we have already affirmed and seen that Allah, He is al-Ali, al-A'la, al-Muta'al, that Allah, He is the Most High. That Allah, He is the Most High. And that Allah Azza wa Jal, bithatihi aliyun, fawqa عرشه فوق مخلوقاته, that Allah, He Himself, He is the Most High, and He is high and lofty above His creation, above His throne, in a manner befitting His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we must understand what is intended from the ma'iyyah, that Allah, He is with His creation. Not meaning that He's mixed in the creation, not meaning that He's inside of the creation or part of the creation. Rather, He's with His creation subhanahu wa ta'ala by way of knowledge. That's what is intended here. That's what is intended here, that He's with His creation by way of knowledge. وَنُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى مَعَ خَلْقِهِ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ عَرْشِهِ يَعْلَمُ أَحْوَالَهُمْ وَيَسْمَعُ أَقْوَالَهُمْ وَيَرَىٰ أَفْعَالَهُمْ. That we believe that Allah, He's with His creation. He's with His creation, the entire creation. while he's above his throne, he knows their circumstances. And in referring that this ma'iyah here is al-ma'iyah al-ilmiyah. Al-ma'iyah al-ilmiyah, or it's also known as ma'iyah al-ihata. Ma'iyatu al-ihata, that Allah, he is with the creation by way of his knowledge. He's encompassed the entire creation. He's with all of the creation, the good of them, the bad of them, the creation in entirety, by way of his knowledge, and by way of his hearing and seeing, and his power and authority and command, and his power and his authority and his command. His knowledge has encompassed all things, and likewise his ability to see and to hear, and his command and his authority and his power, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is encompassing the creation, and with the creation in entirety, in entirety. He's disposing of their affairs. He's disposing of their affairs. He knows their circumstances. He hears their statements. He sees their actions. He's disposing of their affairs. He's providing for the poor and needy. He is mending the one who was broken and down and out. Yuti and mulka man yasha. This is derived from a verse in Surah Al Imran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah, he is Malik al-Mulk. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. Say, O Allah, you are the king of the kingdom. You give the dominion to whom you will. تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِنْ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. That you grant the dominion, the kingdom, the authority and ownership to whom you will, and you strip it from whom you will. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. You honor and raise with might and respect whom you will, and you belittle and lower and humiliate whom you will. بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ. إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. When your hand is all good, indeed you have the ability to do all things. تُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَتُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ. You cause the night to go into the day, and the day to go into the nighttime. وَتُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتِ مِنَ الْحَيِّ. Cause the living to come from the dead, and the dead to come from the living. تُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتِ مِنَ الْحَيِّ. وَتَرْزُقُ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. And you provide for whom you will, without reckoning, without reckoning. This is from the rububiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jal, his lordship and his authority and command. And from that, likewise, is that he is with the creation. That he is with the creation. But he is with the creation by way of knowledge. But he is with the creation by way of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ. That it is he who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then he rose above the throne. And it's very suitable, the arrangement or order that the author is mentioning these attributes. And they have come many in this manner in some of the texts. For example, this verse here in Surah Al-Hadid. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ. It is Allah, he is the one who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Then he rose above the throne. يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا. Allah, he knows that which goes into the earth and that which comes out. وَمَا يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا. He knows that which comes down from the heavens and that which goes up. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. And Allah, he is with you wherever you may be. And Allah is the all-seer of everything that you do. So here, this portion of the verse, the people of knowledge have mentioned, clarifying this. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. And he is with you wherever you may be. He is with you wherever you may be. Meaning by way of his knowledge. Meaning by way of his knowledge. This portion of the verse is preceded by knowledge and is sealed with knowledge. And he has come in between their affairs. So we should not misunderstand believing that Allah is with you wherever you may be, meaning he's with us here on earth. Well, meaning he's with us here on earth. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, he says, لَا نَقُولُ كَمَا يَقُولُ الْجَهْمِيَّةِ إِنَّهُ مَعَنَا هَهُنَا. We don't say that this means what the Jahmiyyah, they say, that Allah, he's with us right here on earth. Meaning that Allah, he's with us by way of his knowledge. Meaning that Allah, he's with us by way of his knowledge. And that Allah, he mentioned this sifa, يَعْلَمُ مَا يَرِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا. وَمَا يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. Allah, he knows that which goes into the earth and that which comes out of the earth. And he knows that which comes down from the heavens and that which goes up to the heavens. And he's with you wherever you may be. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. And he sees everything that you're doing. And he sees everything that you're doing. So this ma'iyah, the fact that Allah is with you wherever you may be, by way of his knowledge and by way of his sight, by way of his hearing, by way of his power and authority, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another verse similarly like this, Allah, he mentioned, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Do you not see that Allah, he knows everything that is in the heavens and everything in the earth? مَا يَكُونُ مِن نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ وَلَا أَدَنَى مِن ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْثَرَ إِلَّا هُوَ مَعَهُمْ أَيْنَمَا كَانُوا ثم ينبئهم بما عملوا يوم القيامة إن الله بكل شيء عليم. إن الله بكل شيء عليم. So Allah, he mentioned in this verse likewise that, do you not see that Allah, he has knowledge of all things? ألم ترى أن الله يعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. Do you not see? Do you not understand? Do you not realize that Allah, he has knowledge, supreme, ultimate knowledge of everything in the heavens and the earth? ما يكون من نجوى ثلاثة إلا هو رابعهم. There is no private counsel of three except for Allah is the fourth with them. And he meaning it is knowledge. He's aware of them and he knows and he hears. ولا خمسة إلا هو سادسهم. And no private counsel of five except for he's the sixth of them. ولا أدنى من ذلك ولا أكثر. And no lesser than that and no more. إلا هو معهم أينما كانوا. Except for he's with them wherever they may be. Except for he's with them wherever they may be. ثم ينبئهم بما عملوا يوم القيامة. Then he will inform them about that which they did on the day of resurrection. Inna Allaha bi kulli shay'in alim. Indeed, Allah, he has supreme ultimate knowledge over all things. Over all things. So here again, the issue, وَهُوَ مَعَهُمْ أَيْنَمَا كَانُوا. And he's with them wherever they may be. This statement here is preceded by the issue of knowledge and also closed by the issue of knowledge. And on both aspects. So Allah is mentioning his encompassing knowledge, and then he mentioned that he's with the creation wherever they may be, and then he closed the issue likewise by mentioning again his encompassing knowledge. So the fact that Allah is with the creation wherever they may be is by way of his knowledge. It's by way of his knowledge. And again, this is by understanding all of the text in one light, because we have already seen the evidence is clarifying that Allah, he himself is above his throne, above his creation, in a manner befitting his majesty. He's not inside of the creation. He's not mixed with the creation. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So therefore, what is understood is he's with the creation by way of his knowledge. So this is the ma'iyyah, any in general. The general aspect of the ma'iyyah is called al-ma'iyyah al-'ammah. Al-ma'iyyah al-'ammah, also known as al-ma'iyyah al-'ilmiyyah, or ma'iyyatu al-ihata, the general encompassing ma'iyyah, yani the fact that Allah is with the creation in entirety, all of them, all of his creation, and it's in his encompassing them by his knowledge and his hearing and his sight and his power, authority, and command, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there's another aspect of the ma'iyyah likewise, it's called al-ma'iyyah al-khasa. Al-ma'iyyah al-khasa is the specific aspect of the ma'iyyah, and this is the ma'iyyatu at-ta'yid wa-nusra, at-ta'yid wa-nusra wa-tawfiq, and this is the ma'iyyah of aid and support and help and guidance and blessing, and this is specific for the believers, at the head of them the prophets and messengers and those true and faithful believers who follow the prophets and messengers alayhim wassalatu wassalam, that Allah is with them by way of aiding them and helping them and guiding them and protecting them and directing them and granting them victory over their enemies and aid and support in this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, inna allaha ma'a alladhina ittaqaw walladhina hum muhsinun. This is what is referred to, inna allaha ma'a, Allah is with. The word ma'a is coming here. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. That Allah, he is with those who fear him and those who are good doers. And those who excel in their worship of the Creator and the dealings with the creation. Allah is with them. Allah is with them. Allah, he's with the entire creation, but he's with them specifically by aiding them and helping them and guiding them. So this is from the great barakah and blessing that comes from At-taqwa wa ihsan, by striving to be obedient to Allah, fulfilling the obligations first and foremost, and avoiding the prohibitions, and striving to perfect the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, seeking the pleasure of Allah, and striving to perfect the dealings one has with the people likewise, seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. In this manner, a person is able to obtain the aid and support, and the help and guidance, and the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, he mentioned likewise in the same light to his noble prophets, Musa and Harun, whenever he sent them to Fir'aun, and they were afraid. They are afraid that if Fir'aun is going to transgress against them, overcome them, overpower them, and if they are two alone going against Fir'aun and his army, and Allah has sent them to them to call him, to call Fir'aun to the truth, and to advise him and admonish him, and to attempt to guide him and direct him to the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they said, "We're afraid. We're afraid, and yafrutu alayna aw yatagha. We're afraid he's going to transgress the limits, or go beyond the boundaries. He's going to violate our rights. We're afraid he's going to harm us." So Allah, He said to them, "La takhafa inni ma'akuma asma'u wa ara." Do not be afraid. I'm with you. Do not be afraid. I'm with you. I hear and I see, and I hear all of the affairs and issues that's going on between you and your enemies, and I see you. Meaning, and I will aid you, and I will help you, and I will guide you. La takhafa innani ma'akuma. إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. And likewise, this is what the Prophet ﷺ, he said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, whenever they're in the cave, whenever he is afraid and they're surrounded by the enemies. And Abu Bakr, he mentioned what he mentioned radiallahu anhu, and the Prophet ﷺ, he said, لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Do not grieve, do not be afraid. Indeed, Allah is with us. Indeed, Allah is with us. Allah is within the entire creation. And that general aspect by way of his knowledge and his awareness and his hearing and his seeing and his power and his authority. But he's with the believers. He's with the believers specifically by way of his help and his guidance and his direction. By way of his help and his guidance and his direction. And whomsoever Allah is with him, then no one can harm him. And no one can touch him, alhamdulillah. And his life, it will be nothing but goodness and joy for him. And we hope to be from those whom Allah is with. And we hope to be from those who obtain the ma'iyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala khasa. I need the help and the aid and the direction and the guidance of Allah azza wa jal. And this comes first and foremost, barakallahu fikum, from learning this creed. From learning the proper creed and correcting one's belief system and his faith, and then working in that knowledge to cultivate that faith in the heart until it produces the beautiful fruits of actions and submission and surrender to Allah Azza wa Jal, that those deeds that are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will earn him his pleasure and that would earn him his pleasure and likewise his aid and support, his aid and support. So this is the ma'iyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's in a general manner, and this is what the author is referring to here. And it's in a specific manner, and this is what we have been discussing. So Allah, He's with the creation, and while at the same time, He Himself, He's above His throne. Allah, He Himself, بِذَاتِهِ فَوْقَ عَرْشِهِ فَوْقَ عَرْشِهِ and مُسْتَوًا عَلَى عَرْشِهِ بَائِنٌ مِنْ قَلْقِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Allah Himself, He's above His throne, in the manner befitting His majesty, separate from the creation. Separate from the creation. As for the fact that He's with us by way of His knowledge. He's with us by way of His sight and His hearing. He's with us by way of His power and authority and command, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He's with those who believe and those who work righteous deeds and those who are strong and sincere in their faith by way of His aid, help, support, and guidance. So the author, he says, وَلَا نَقُولُ كَمَا تَقُولُ الْحُلُولِيَّ مِنَ الْجَهْمِيَّ وَغَيْرُهُمْ إِنَّهُ مَعَ خَلْقِهِ فِي الْأَرْضِ. We don't say like what the حُلُولِيَّ, they say from the جَهْمِيَّ and those upon their way and the likes of them saying that Allah, He is with us on the earth. That's not what he means. That's not what he means. What we say is what has preceded. Allah, He's with us by way of His knowledge. And He's with the believers by way of His knowledge and likewise by way of His help and guidance and blessing and favor and direction and help and aid. And as for Allah Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He's above His throne in a manner befitting His majesty. So He says, وَنَرَى أَنَّ مَنْ قَالَ ذَلِكَ فُهُوَ كَافِرٌ أَوْ ضَالٌ لِأَنَّهُ وَصَفَ اللَّهَ بِمَا لَا يَلِيكُ مِنَ النَّقَائِسِ. He says, and we believe that whoever said that, then he's a disbeliever or misguided. That he's a disbeliever or misguided because he has described Allah with that which is not befitting for him from defects and deficiencies. He's saying, now we believe that Allah, He's with the creation by way of His knowledge, while He Himself is above His throne in a manner befitting His majesty. And we do not say that Allah is mixed in the creation. This is from the statements of the Jahmiyyah. The Haluriyyah, they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is in the creation, He's mixed inside of the creation. And Allah fi kulli makan, that Allah is everywhere. that Allah is everywhere. We do not say that. This is what the Jahmiyyah they say. This is a false and a lowly creed. And this is describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that which is not befitting. And we mentioned in our previous class that from the places of everywhere, like a person's pocket, and from the places of everywhere, for example, in the bathroom, akramakum Allah. So to believe that your Lord that you worship, who created you in the womb of the manner that's known as in your pocket, waliyadhu billah, or in the bathroom, or in the worst, there's worse places probably in these neighborhoods around here, waliyadhu billah, that they claim their Lord is, and that Allah is in these places. It's not befitting for Allah. Rather, he says, وَنَرَى أَنَّ مَنْ قَالَ ذَلِكَ كَافِرٌ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. We believe that whoever said that, he's a disbeliever. Meaning this is a creed and statement of disbelief. To claim that Allah is everywhere, or that Allah is mixed in the creation, or that Allah is not above his throne, this is disbelief. This is clear disbelief, disbelieving in that which has been revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we look at the moderation in this ruling, and the wisdom of this imam, and the balance in the affair, and not being hasty. He says, وَنَرَى أَنَّ مَنْ قَالَ ذَلِكَ أَنَّهُ كَافِرٌ أَوْ ضَالٌ أَنَّهُ كَافِرٌ أَوْ ضَالٌ. We believe that the one who said that, he's a disbeliever or misguided. He's a disbeliever or misguided. And he's going to be one or the other. And he, meaning that the origin is that this is a statement of disbelief, but a person, maybe he has an excuse, so therefore the ruling of disbelief cannot be applied to him, so therefore he's misguided. So therefore he's considered misguided. So there are people who they make this statement and they have no excuse, and the proofs and evidences have been established against them, and they reject them and deny them, and they rebel stubbornly to hold fast to their creed and opinion in this affair, and the ruling of disbelief will be applied to them. And there are others who have been affected by these ideologies, and the evidence and proofs have not been established against them, and they're mentioning what has been mentioned to them, and they're saying what they have read in some books or heard some people saying, and they are ignorant of this affair, and they have not been in contact with the people of truth to clarify these realities properly, and therefore they make the likes of these statements. So this one, he has an excuse, and the ruling of disbelief cannot be applied to him directly until the evidences are established. So in any case, the person who makes the likes of these statements and has the likes of these creeds, either he's going to be one of these two. He's either a kafir, disbeliever, waliyadhu billah, or dhal. And if he's a Muslim, the origin is that he's a Muslim. And a person, the people of the Sunnah are the furthest of the people from declaring the Muslims disbelievers. So sometimes the person, he will make a statement of disbelief, yet disbelief will not be applied to him. A statement of disbelief, but disbelief will not be applied to him. A person, maybe he will fall into a statement or action of innovation, but the ruling of innovation will not be applied to him. Maybe a person, he will fall into some actions, aspects of these affairs of misguidance, but that ruling will not be applied to him. Before the judgment of kufr, or the judgment of bid'ah, or the judgment of fisq, and the likes of these affairs, these rulings that will be applied to individuals that will take them out of Islam, or take them out of the sunnah, or take them out of piety and righteousness, before these issues are applied to individuals, there are conditions that must be met, and there are prohibitors that must be lifted. There are هناك شروط لا بد من توفرها وموانع لا بد من انتفائها لا بد من انتفائها. There are conditions that must be present before the ruling can be established, and likewise there are prohibitors that must be lifted before the ruling can be established. So the conditions and the prohibitors, they must be there. The conditions must be present and the prohibitors must be lifted. If that's the case, then the ruling will be applied to an individual. Then the ruling will be applied to an individual. If that's not the case, then that ruling will not be applied to the individual. That ruling will not be applied to the individual. If the conditions are not met, maybe a person, he made that statement because of ignorance. He doesn't know. So it's incumbent to have knowledge. وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. So from the condition of accountability is to have knowledge. So if a person is ignorant and he does not know, then he has a type of excuse. And according to a situation, and this is just in general so that we understand. Or maybe he grew up in a community or a society where he's surrounded by ulama as-su, and this is all that they taught him. all of the scholars in his land, and all of his forefathers in his land, and all of the masajid that he grew up in, all they told him his whole life, and Allah fi kulli makan, and Allah fi kulli makan. This is what they told him his whole life. Allah is everywhere. And they said, because this Allah is everywhere because of this, this, and this. Or they said, "Huwa ma'akum aynama kanu." "Huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum." "Huwa ma'ahum aynama kanu." So then they made this false interpretation, and that's all he heard his whole life, and that's what he said, the likes of what he heard. So this person now, if he comes in contact with the people of the Sunnah, will not be hasty to declare him a disbeliever. Rather, they'll hasten to try to guide him and direct him, and to help him away from that falsehood, and to free him from this incorrect ideology and this foul and lowly understanding, by clarifying for him the evidences and mentioning for him the proofs, and also clarifying for him the lowly way of that statement and the falsehood of that creed, hoping that he will be guided, and hoping to help him and to direct him, not hoping to establish a proof against him so one can drop him and be rid of him, But after the clarification has come and he refuses to accept that, for example, maybe he sees the truth but he refuses to leave the ways of his forefathers, or he sees the truth and he does not accept it, or prefers the way that he was upon before, then the dealings will be different. But in the beginning, whenever a person deals with the likes of these people, especially in these days, whenever ignorance is widespread throughout the ummah, and the people of Sunnah are few, and although the knowledge is widespread, still many doubts and deviations are in the hearts of many of the believers and many of their communities, then a person who will be patient and forbearing in dealing with the misguided Muslims and dealing with those who are ignorant, by striving to educate them and to help them and to direct them in the best manner and the way that one would like to be educated and directed if he were ignorant, or if he had a creed that was corrupt in that manner. If he had a creed that was corrupt in that manner, how would he like to be directed and guided? How would he like to be shown the proper creed and the proper path? This is the way to call and to teach, with gentleness, with kindness, with a beautiful intention, hoping goodness for them, hoping guidance for them, hoping blessing for them, and the likes like this, especially whenever the origin is that they're believers and they believe in La ilaha illallah and Muhammad Rasulullah. They've only been affected by some of the deviant ideologies, and they've been in the company of the deviant scholars and students of knowledge, and the likes like this. So therefore, a person of the Sunnah, as Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned, Ahl al-Sunnah, A'lamu nasi bil khaliq wa arhamu nasi bil khalq. This is such a beautiful statement, that the people of the Sunnah, they're the most knowledgeable of mankind with regards to the Creator, and they're the most merciful of mankind with regards to the creation. A'lamu nasi bil khaliq wa arhamu nasi bil khalq. That they're the most knowledgeable of the people with regards to understanding the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also because of that, they're the most merciful of the people towards mankind, and from the greatest mercy. Rather, and the greatest mercy is to teach the people the Tawheed, and to call the people to the straight path, and to clarify the true belief and creed and understanding, the understanding of the deen of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as taught by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as understood by the noble companions radiyallahu anhum, radiyallahu anhum. So we don't say that. We don't say what they say, and those who say what they say, we believe they're disbelievers, or if they have an excuse, then they're misguided. So then after this, the author, he continues to discuss more of these attributes, moving on to the next issue, the issue of al-nuzul, the descent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِمَا أَخْبَرَ بِهِ عَنْهُ رَسُولُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ يَنْزِلُ كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا حِينَ يَبْقَى ثُلُثُ اللَّيْلِ الْآخِرِ. Says ثُلُثُ اللَّيْلِ الْآخِرِ. In the hadith, it's without a ya. In the hadith that I'm familiar with, وَاللَّهُ عَلَمُ in Sahih Bukhari, is without the ya. حِينَ يَبْقَى ثُلُثُ اللَّيْلِ الْآخِرِ فَيَقُولُ مَنْ يَدْعُونِي فَأَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ مَنْ يَسْأَلُنِي فَأُوَلْطِيَهُ مَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُنِي فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ. Now the author, he says, and we believe in what his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us about him. And we believe in what his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us about him that he descends every night to the lowest heaven. إلى السماء الدنيا. السماء الدنيا, the سماوات, the heavens, there are seven of them. We have seen this, correct? الله الذي خلق سبع سماوات ومن الأرض مثلهن ومن الأرض مثلهن. It's Allah who created the seven heavens. So there are seven of them. There are seven of them. And the nearest heaven, السماء الدنيا, is the one that we see. Is the one that we see. And the ones that we see above our heads, and the ones that the scientists, they're searching in with their telescopes, so on and so forth, and they claim that they're going there and their satellites, and they're looking beyond and beyond in this galaxy and that galaxy. And this is the السماء الدنيا. Above that, there's six more. Above that, there's six more. Above that, there's six more. And it's established likewise that the creation gets bigger. It's bigger. This is something science has established. It's something that we know likewise from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the greatest creation is the creation of the throne. Of the throne. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that the throne compared to the seventh heaven is like the kursi compared to the seventh heaven is like a ring, halqa fi tulqa fi Fifalat, like a small ring cast in the desert. And this is the comparison. The seventh heaven compared to the kursi of Allah is like a small ring cast in the desert. And the throne compared to the kursi is like a small ring cast in the desert. And this is the example. When the heavens are like this, each one is greater than the other, but to a major extent, each one is greater. The second heaven is greater than the first heaven, and the third one is greater than the second, all the way till the seventh heaven. And then greater than that is the kursi of Allah, and greater than that is the arsh of Allah. That's the greatest of the creation, the greatest of the creation. And above that is the Most High and the Most Great, Subhanahu wa Taala, Subhanahu wa Taala. So we believe in these affairs that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us about. وَنُؤْمِنُ بِمَا أَخْبَرَ بِهِ عَنْهُ رَسُولُهُ sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we believe that which his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us about. أَنَّهُ يَنْزِلُ كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا. That he, Allah, he descends every night into this nearest heaven. حِينَ يَبْقَى ثُرُثُ اللَّيْلِ الْآخِرِ. And whenever the last third of the night remains, and this is actually the text of the hadith. This is the text of the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Rabbana tabaraka wa taala yanzilu kulla laylatin ila sama' dunya hina yabqa thuruth al-layl al-akhir." That indeed our Lord, the Most High, he descends every night to the nearest heaven. Whenever there is the last third of the night remaining, فَيَقُولُ, and he says, سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مَنْ يَدْعُونِي فَأَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ. Who is calling on me so I may respond to him? Who is calling on me so I may respond to him? مَنْ يَسْأَلُنِي فَأُعْطِيَهُ. Who is asking of me so I may give him? Who is asking of me so I may give him? مَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُ لِي فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ. Who is seeking my forgiveness so that I may forgive him. So we believe in the nuzul of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that he descends in a manner befitting his majesty in the last third of every night. And even with his descent, he's still above his throne in a manner befitting his majesty. So now it's very suitable to refer back to that which we have discussed, the istiwa of Allah Azza wa Jal, in the statement of Imam Malik, because these are affairs that we're not able to comprehend. And we affirm them because Allah has affirmed them for him and his messenger, and his messenger has affirmed them for him. So the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ رَبَّنَا أَوْ يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا كُلَّ لَيْلَ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا. This is what our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that our Lord, he descends every night to the nearest heaven. So somebody would say he doesn't descend. Would somebody be bold enough to say he doesn't descend? Waliyadhu billah. There's some people who are bold enough to say that. Waliyadhu billah, from the deviant sects. Some of them, they say, no, he doesn't descend. Why do they say that? Because they cannot comprehend any of these attributes except in that which they see and that which they know. Their minds can only comprehend likening these issues to the creation. So just as Allah Azza wa Jal, we go back to this issue of a nuzul. What does a nuzul mean in the Arabic language? Nazala yanzilu, inzil nuzulan. What does that mean? Nazala, to come down. For example, nazalat al-ta'ira, right? The plane came down. You know how the plane comes down? Wa nazala al-ta'ir, or the bird comes down, right? Or for example, nazala al-rajul an-sulam, right? The man, he came down the stairs. So planes come down, birds come down, men come down, stairs, you might come down and go outside. You're in your vehicle, you might come down out of the vehicle. Tanzil anis sayara, for example, like this. So maybe you're in the tree and you drop a rock, and the rock, nazala min, like this. Many things in the creation, they perform this verb, a nuzul. And all of them are different, correct? All of them are different. They all come down differently. They all come down differently. So we know what nuzul means. We know what nuzul means, and we know that this verb is ascribed to many things in the creation, and all of them are different. And the way that it happens is according to what it's ascribed to. Huh? What it's ascribed to. Nuzul al-ta'ira yakhtalif al-nuzul al-rajul. Mathalan. The way that a plane comes down is different than the way a man comes down. A plane comes down from the sky is different than the way a man comes down from the second story. Right? It's different. It's different. Okay, so according to what it's ascribed to, we'll determine yani the reality of that affair. So here the nuzul is ascribed to Allah Azza wa Jal. So al-kalamu fi sihat far'un an al-kalami fi dhat. To speak about the attributes is based upon or stemming from speaking about the essence. So the same way we affirm the essence of Allah Azza wa Jalla, we do not liken it to anything in His creation, and it's perfect, and it has no deficiency whatsoever, and it does not resemble the essence of any of the essences in this creation. Then likewise, we affirm the nuzul for Allah Azza wa Jalla, without any deficiency or fault whatsoever, not resembling the nuzul of anything in the creation. كيف ينزل؟ ينزل ربنا نزولا يليق بجلاله وعظمته سبحانه وتعالى. Our Lord, He descends in a manner befitting His Majesty. We do not know how that is, and we do not ask how that is. To ask how it is an innovation. To say, how does he descend? How is He above His throne? How does He descend? The second, the first heaven, like this. If it's the last third of the night in Saudi Arabia, then it's the last third of the night after that is going to be in America, so on and so forth. How is this? We don't do this part. Allah, He does not descend like anything in the creation. Rather, He descends in a manner befitting His Majesty. And His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said that He descends. And He said, when He descends, in the last third of every night. So therefore, a believer, he believes in that. So we don't ask how that occurs. Rather, we ask when. When is it? So that we can benefit from that. So an-nuzul is from those attributes that have been affirmed in the book and in the sunnah. They have been affirmed in the authentic text. And therefore, the ahl sunnah, they affirm them in a manner befitting the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not ask how. They do not ask how. Rather, this one here, a person, he will say when, as is mentioned in the narration. So that way one can benefit from that. When is the last third of the night? When is the last third of the night? So that a believer, he can benefit and experience the fruits of this creed and call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who believes that Allah, He descends in a manner befitting His Majesty, and he submits to that and surrenders to that. He doesn't delve into how and the likes and try to calculate in his mind and figure out this reality. He doesn't delve into these issues. Rather, he submits to the text and he believes that Allah, He descends in this portion of the night, every night, in a manner befitting His Majesty. And he says these statements, من يدعوني فاستجيب له. Who is calling on me? And this is a call from Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah is calling the believers to stand in this portion of the night, to be awake in this portion of the night, to call on Him in this portion of tonight. من يسألني فأعطيه. Who is going to ask me so I can give him? This is from the best time to get your needs met, to call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have problems, if you have issues, you have troubles in your life, you're facing challenges in your life, from the best time to solve these problems and to find the way out from hardships is to be awake at this time when the people are sleeping. As-salatu bil-layli wa nas niyam. To pray in the nighttime while the people are sleeping, especially in this portion of the night, whenever Allah, He descends in a manner befitting His Majesty, and He calls on the people in this way, calling on them to call on Him and to ask Him and to seek His forgiveness. And subhanAllah, in the beginning of al-Islam, whenever the Muslims are persecuted in Mecca, it was an obligation for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to stand in the night prayer. To stand in the night prayer. And the people of Najd, as they mentioned, the wisdom from that is because of the strength that one finds from standing in the night prayer. The physical and spiritual strength that one he will find in the night prayer, whenever they're facing this persecution, and they're being tried by their tribesmen. Some of them are being tortured, and they're being blamed, and they're being censored, and they're being persecuted. They're being harmed left and right. The one of the means to help deal with these problems here was to stand in the night prayer. Specifically in the last part, of the night. So the question is, when is the last part of the night? Into the last third, huh? حِينَ يَبْقَى ثُلُثُ اللَّيْلِ الْآخِرُ حِينَ يَبْقَى ثُلُثُ اللَّيْلِ الْآخِرُ. When is that? That Allah, He descends to the nearest heaven every night. Whenever the last third of the night remains. When is that? When is the first portion? We have to find when the first portion is and when the last portion is. Then we can decide when the third is, right? When does the night begin? At Maghrib time. This is when the night begins. When does the night end? At Fajr time. So when does the night begin? At Maghrib time or Isha? At Maghrib time. Sah. That's correct, inshaAllah. When does the night time end? At Fajr time? Or a sunrise. At Fajr time. So the night is from sunset to dawn. From sunset to Fajr. This is the night time. From sunset to Fajr. You understand? This is the night time. So you calculate that time. You find that time. Like maybe throughout the year it changes, correct? The time of Maghrib and the time of Fajr changes throughout the seasons. So you calculate that time, and then you divide it into three parts, and the last third is the portion that Allah, He descends in, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the manner befitting His Majesty. And a person, he will strive to be found every night in some portion of that night, of that third, either just before the Fajr comes, or an hour before, or 2 hours before, or the whole last portion, or the first portion, and then he will rest again, whatever is easy for him. But a believer, he will not let the likes of these opportunities go by. He will not let the likes of these opportunities go by. He will strive against his soul to be from those who believe in these narrations and strive to implement them. So the one who believes that Allah, He descends in a manner befitting His Majesty, and then he sleeps on that, this is an issue. Any believer, he should not neglect this great opportunity. He should not neglect this great opportunity to call on Allah and the last third of the night, every night, for himself and for his family, and for his loved ones, and for the believers in general, to be from those calling on Allah and begging Allah and seeking forgiveness in the last portion of the night. This is something that is very praiseworthy and highly desirable in the heart of every believer. That a believer, he will hope to be from those who stand in the night prayer and stand in that portion specifically, or as awake in that portion specifically, at least making istighfar and making dua. I remember now a narration from Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah. He died in the 187. He said, "من لم يستطيع أن يقوم الليل ويصوم النهار فإنه محروم فإنه محروم من لم يستطيع أن يقوم من الليل أن يقوم الليل ويصوم النهار من لم يستطيع أن يقوم الليل ويصوم النهار فإنه محروم كبرته خطيته." That whoever is not able to stand in the night prayer nor to fast in the daytime, then he has been forbidden. He has been prohibited. And this is because his sins have shackled him and kept him back. His sins. كَبَّرَتْهُ خَطِيَّتُهُ. And his sins have kept him back. So sometimes a person, he would hear the likes of this admonishment or advice, And then he will not be able to get up at that time. He will not be granted success to get up that time. And many times that which is holding him back from this great blessing are his own sins. And these sins will weigh a person down to where he's not able to raise his head. Or to get the sheet off his chest. And it could become even more severe. What he has below, not only is he able to not raise his head for this great portion of standing in the non-obligatory prayer in the nighttime, but even sometimes it gets so heavy on some of them, they're not able to get up in time for the obligatory prayer of Fajr. So this is an indication that the sins, they have a foul effect on one's life. And although this is something very dangerous and blameworthy, also, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, is something easy to treat and to deal with, and that is to look into one's self and to take himself to account and to have remorse for those problems that he was affected by before and those shortcomings that he was overcome by before, and to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have strong determination to do good and to go forward. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.